Good evening, listeners. How you doing? This is The Logicus. My name is Joseph Lauthen, and I am forgetting to turn on my light. There we go. Much better. I'm not going to get any prettier, but at least you can see me, and I don't fade into the darkness of my background. All right. Today's gospel meditation is on 1 Timothy 2. Verses 8 through 15, we are to worship in Christ. This is what the passage is calling us to do. Now, if you are familiar with 1 Timothy 2, if you subscribe to a certain theology, a tertiary doctrine, if you will, I'm just going to not beat around the bush. If you know the terms it's been so long since I've said it, I don't know how to say egalitarianism and complementarianism, and you're like, what the heck is that? It is a decades old debate whether or not women are allowed to be pastors or elders in a church, and all kinds of stuff, right? And there's arguments from both sides. If you pay attention to the Catholic Church absolutely do not allow women to be priests. In certain Protestant circles, you're gonna some of the more orthodox and historical Protestant faiths also do not allow pastors and elders or bishops, depends on where you come from. They don't allow women to operate in that. Whereas egalitarian, those are who subscribe to that reading of doctrine. It's when men or women are there. And the kind of the straw man argument for that is that they're interchangeable. Like an egalitarian is egalitarian would argue that you can swap out the man for the woman or one woman for the man in any calling on this earth, right? But here's the thing. And this passage, and there's a verse we're about to get to, that this is like the bullet in the gun, so to speak, for the debate. But my listener, if I read this passage, and I'm taking passage by passage, if I read this passage, I don't think that's what the passage is actually about. If I read it in context of just what we're going to read today, in light of the chapter and knowing that chapters came about as a recent invention in the church, if you took the letter to Timothy as a whole, just the first letter, I'm like, I don't know if that's what Paul is really trying to get to. And can we actually make doctrine out of this one line? Okay. So let's pray about this. Let's approach the scriptures in humility. Let's see where we land. We may not land anywhere. This is one of those hard things, okay? Heavenly Father, I am ill-equipped. I am not remotely qualified to be an expert in this. But I do love your word. And I pray that you would write your word upon my heart, so that I would not sin against you. You are my rock and my redeemer forever. And we come together in a humble attempt to glorify your name. So Lord, be with us. We love you so much. In your son's beautiful name, I pray. Amen. So, all right. So again, like if I was just going to talk about the one verse, then you're like, oh yeah, sure, that's pretty straightforward. If I were to talk about if I talked about it as we're reading, we're not so sure. If we talk about it in light of the scripture, I'm even less sure that's what Paul was talking about, okay? So I am going to do, well, you know what? I can't even look at that anyway. I'm trying to get my chat set up and make sure I'm not missing any chats. So bear with me real quick. All right. As I'm doing all that mess, here we go. Here we go. Booyah, booyah. Booyah, booyah. There we go. Cool. All right. One of these days, I'll actually figure out how to integrate my chat into my streaming software. Until then, this is the best I got. I have to make do with what I got. Okay. So let's read this and let's get into it. Okay. 1 Timothy 2:8-15. Therefore, I want the men in every place to pray, lifting up holy hands without anger or argument. Also, the women are to dress themselves in modest clothing, with decency and good sense, not with elaborate hairstyles, gold, pearls, or expensive apparel, but with good works, as it is proper for women who profess to worship God. A woman is to learn quietly with full submission. I do not allow a woman to teach or have authority over men. Instead, she is to remain quiet. As for Adam, who was formed first, then Eve, Adam was not deceived, but the woman was deceived and transgressed, but she will be saved through childbearing if they continue in faith, love, and holiness, and with good sense. First of all, read that passage through, read it through again, and tell me if that the last part of that actually even makes sense. And if you have any kind of halfway knowledge about the Bible, it still doesn't make it that much clearer. So what I am going to attempt to do is try to make clear this, but we might get to the end and it still not be clear, and it's going to be okay. First of all, I'm not the Holy Spirit. I'm not God. And so we're going to run at this together. Then if we're unclear, we're going to bring, this is an opportunity to bring this up to God and say, God, show us what this actually means. Use your word to examine your word. Use your word to explain your word. Your word is the best commentary for your word. I'm a big believer in that. It's the only thing that makes sense. And I say that is because when we start taking scriptures and make them standalone, like standalone verses, and make them doctrine, we go way off the rails. There's historical, it's happened out throughout all of the history of the church. And I'm not talking since Christ was here. I'm talking since Moses, from the word go. The moment that, from Genesis 3, the moment that God gave his word, we are misconstruing that from the get-go. And we need him. We need him to make sense of what he is saying. Because what he is saying is supernatural, not natural. What he is saying is beyond our understanding, and only the Spirit can reveal what's going on, okay? Now, here's the meditation. Here's what I want you and I to think about today. God determines the times and places of where we live. That's Acts 17. So with that said comes the unavoidable influence of the culture of the time and place that we live in. Yet, God tells us not to be captive through philosophy and empty deceit based on human tradition. That is easier said than done. So to be born in a time and place is to take on the assumptions of the culture where you live, work, play, learn, and yes, even the church that you attend. It is really hard to read today's passage with American eyes, isn't it? Especially when the culture that we live in celebrates authority, power, leadership, and self-reliance. So keep that in mind. If you're an American listening to this broadcast, we have this point of view of authority is best, power is best, leadership is best, and self-reliance is best. Weirdly enough, if you start to examine that in light of who God is, his authority reigns supreme. His power is almighty. We are under his leadership, and we are not self-reliant, but fully and utterly reliant upon him. We can read the second chapter of 1 Timothy, and instead of rightfully responding in worshiping God in Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit, with this these glasses that we have built in, we can instead make this chapter a passage about something it might not be. So let's examine the scripture in light of the scripture and try to see the glory of God in this text, okay? So, verse number one, therefore, I want men in every place to pray, lifting up holy hands without anger or argument. Listen, you know what? If you grew up Baptist and you're like, oh, you know the trope, right? Oh, we don't raise our hands because it attracts too much attention. Okay, fine, whatever. Now, there's multiple places in the Bible that cause us to raise holy hands. But is that the point of the passage? No. Let's stay on the point. Let's stay on track. This is not a call to pray in an external way, but rather a posture of the heart and the mind and the soul underneath Christ. Our worship in everything that we do, we are to give glory to God because He alone is worthy of that glory. Not beyond being deserving of that glory. He alone is worthy to be praised. Okay? Now, let's continue on. Also, so in likewise, men do this. Okay, that I've read that somewhere else in the Bible. Let's continue on. Also, the women are to dress themselves in modest clothing with decency and good sense, not with elaborate hairstyles, gold, pearls, or expensive apparel, but with good works as is proper for women to profess who profess to worship God. I grew up charismatic. I've told you guys this, you know, probably once a week I'll tell you this. And part of my charismatic I grew up Assemblies of God, and I went to maybe a really moderate Assemblies of God. And what I mean by that is that there were a lot of traditions going in until the pastor who came on board, the lead pastor, Des Evans, who came on board sometime in the 70s, around when I was a baby, he kind of diffused a lot of those traditions, and if they didn't line up with the scripture, they were not going to hold place in that church from that point on. One of them is like, you know, drinking alcohol. The other was like this passage: modest clothing, decency, and good sense. I had no clue that. First of all, I didn't know that like all denominations had different traditions. One, two, I didn't even know that was a differing. Point of view within the Assemblies of God until I went to another Assemblies of God church for a little while. And oh my gosh, they follow this to the letter. It would be comparing like to if you know the Pentecostals, it's like they might as well have been Pentecostal, okay? Neither here nor there. I say that to all to say is that you have the Mennonites, you have the Amish, you have Pentecostals, maybe certain places with Assemblies of God, on. Different denominations and different circles within Christianity are just trying to do their best to remain separate from the world, to look different in however, shape, or form. And if you kind of think about it, this is the summation of the Old Testament. In other words, believers are not to look like the world around them. Now, like, you know, like in Leviticus, it's like you're not to have tattoos. Well, I have a tattoo and I'm a Christian and I've gotten these since being saved. But why was that called? Why did God say don't have tattoos? Well, because the pagan worshiping people around Israel were doing so for the, like, marking themselves in worship of the dead and of other gods. The tattoos of that time were specifically in worship to other gods. These, every one of my tattoos is a worship to God. So some people with a certain conscience can't bear that. Others, like myself, I can bear that. So there it is. No excuse. It just is what it is. So if you... Now, you could have grown up in a church culture that follows this verse to the letter, which I just gave you an example there. I would submit to you that in doing so, you know, maybe not so much, but in doing so, you might be missing the spirit of the law. God has always called his people to be separated from the world while being in the world. Yet, if the world looks upon us and sees no difference between us and them, what is even the point? This is, I believe, the heart and the spirit of what we're reading here. Let me tell you that the world wants to change parts of our faith because there are hard sayings and teachings in the Bible. Even going as far as that, some of our brothers and sisters in the faith have compromised some of their teaching. This may be generalization, but some of their teaching in thinking and hoping and praying that more people would attend their church. But guess what? The world is not interested in attending our church. The world never was. This is not an attraction model. We don't have to compromise on something and hope to attract more. That's not how God rolls, right? He never was. And the world is not interested in attending your church. Here's a shock, right? The world just wanted you to stop proclaiming the hard truths of the Bible. And those hard truths are that we are sinners in need of a great God to save us. Okay? That's hard saying. To say that I am inherently bad or inherently wicked, or things that I do are not inherently good, but you need a God. You need somebody outside of yourself to save you from sin and death. But you need someone to, in order to be good and holy and right, you need this God to rescue and to draw him close to you so that you might be saved. Okay? Yet, the hard sayings are right there in Scripture. They're going nowhere. I'm going to give you, this is a real historical fact. Back in the 1700s, 1800s in America, make no bones about it, this is an historical fact. We had slaves in this country. And you just like, oh, but I'm not from the South. Hey, you know what? All throughout the colonies, all throughout the country was born and it was established on the backs of slaves. Now, I'm not going to go into like details of what's the difference between like biblical slavery and slavery that we experience in our country's history. But here is the point. The reason why the slavery of the America of America was so wicked and damnable is because from soup to nuts, from the beginning to the end, you had evil, wicked men kidnapping Africans, Native Africans from their homeland and bringing them over here against their will. Okay? That's strictly prohibited in the Scripture. So everything from that point, I don't care if it's all legal or biblical legal or anything like that, it's all of it. It's wicked. All of it's damnable. Without repentance, every single one of those slave owners, I don't care how many times they went to church, they are going straight to hell. That is a sin that you must repent of, right? And you stop doing that, okay? Where is I going with that? Here we go. Even when wicked men who profited off the kidnapping and enslavement of African natives in the Western world and with absolutely no fear of an almighty, wrathful, vengeful God would then, like you go through all of that, but in order to keep the oppression upon the slaves, they would, and I'm not kidding you, they would cut out large portions of the Bible. For example, Exodus, anything that would indicate that God saves the oppressed and anywhere where God rescues us out of slavery, and they will begin to preach that blasphemous and wicked Bible and then even go so far as to hand over this incomplete Bible to slaves who can actually read at the time. Right? So there's the Bible. Just follow it. You're good to go, right? Check, check, and check. That's a whole lot of editing within the Holy Scriptures just to damn your soul to hell. Yet the good news is that every single Bible passage loudly proclaims that the Lord has come to set the captives free. Those passages will always be in there, whether you want it to be or not. We can choose to ignore and not teach certain parts of the Bible, but ignoring it won't make it go away. So we're talking about hard sayings. We're talking about being separated. We're talking about not looking like the rest of the world. Let's get to, I believe, what is the elephant in the room, okay? Because I don't think there's any other passage as controversial as this. And it could be, give me some grace, because I think it could be that just the circles I run in. You know, this is like a hot button topic all of my Christian life from the word go, from the last 20 or 30 years, right? So here we go. A woman is to learn quietly with full submission. All right, cool. And I do not allow a woman to teach or to have authority over a man. Instead, she is to remain quiet. Okay. All right, let's examine that. Let us not forget the beginning of the chapter where Paul tells Timothy in verse 1, first of all, then I urge that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and those who are in authority, so that we, assumingly men and women, may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. So men, you are to lead a tranquil, quiet life in godliness and dignity, but women, you do the same, okay? So I'm tying that those beginning of the chapter and where we're at in this chapter, those are tied together automatically. Why? Because it's the context of the chapter. And now we can, here's the thing, we can speculate why Paul had to remind Timothy to lead a tranquil life. I don't know. Maybe these particular set of women in that church were loud and obnoxious, just like me. I read this in context of 1 Timothy, and it seems to me that Timothy's church may not be perfect. Have you heard that before? But anybody who has ever been in church for any amount of time know that the church can be off the rails, getting bogged down in things that really don't matter. So our church folks don't interrupt services, but at the same time, they can sure get loud on social media. So maybe when we read the Bible and the instructions for the people of the church, we can see that his word still applies to us today and the fact that we'll never outgrow it. So all that said, when I read, I do not allow a woman to teach or have authority over a man. Instead, she is to remain quiet. And yet I am charged by God with keeping all the scriptures in mind. And I have to take that singular text and have to balance it. I have to not balance, but I have to keep also in mind the rest of the scriptures. Okay. Judges 4:4, Deborah, a prophetess and a wife of Lapidoth, was judging Israel at that time. So already she was a leader and a judge over all of Israel. Romans 16:1-6, I commend to you our sister Phoebe, who is a servant, and some translations have that as deaconess, a servant of church in Sincera, so that you should welcome her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, and assist her in whatever matter she may require your help. For indeed, she has been a benefactor of many, and of me also. Give my greetings to Priscilla and Prisca. And Aquila, my co-workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their own necks for my life. Not only do I thank them, but so do all the Gentile churches. Greet also the church that meets in their home. Greet my dear friend Epaphroditus, who is the first convert to Christ from Asia. Greet Mary, who has also worked very hard for you. So right from this passage, we see that we have both men and women who are working hard in the church in Rome to basically oversee and oversight and run and minister, equip these saints for ministry in order for that church to keep going on, okay? And I'm not suggesting or reading into it that maybe Phoebe was this or Mary was that or anything like that. You can't speculate. But what I can see is that they are all church planners. They're all part of this church plan, and they're all part of the ministry. And Paul, with all the people who attend that church, he was very conscious to mention them by name, okay? So they are prominent within that church. Acts 18, 24 through 26. Now, a Jew named Apollos, a native Alexandrian, an eloquent man who is competent in the use of the scriptures, arrived in Ephesus. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he was speaking and teaching accurately about Jesus, although he knew only John's baptism. He begins to speak boldly in the synagogues, but after Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained the way of God to him more accurately. Both wife and the husband took Apollos aside and gave him some theological doctrinal teaching, and then sent him on his way. John 20, 17 through 18. Don't cling to me, Jesus told her, because I have not ascended to my Father. But go to my brothers and tell them that I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Verse 18, Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, I have seen the Lord, and she told them what he had said to her. So the Lord tells Mary to go preach the gospel. Mary goes and preaches the good news to the apostles of Jesus Christ. But here's the thing. If you go read Matthew 28, Mark 16, Luke 24, and Acts 1, and all throughout the gospel, if those passages have anything to say about that, we know that the Lord has told us all to go and proclaim his good news. I cannot read this passage and simply think that Paul wanted all women to shut up, okay? What I have read, that Christians are to live tranquil and quiet lives. This is worship to God. Women shutting up doesn't line up with the rest of the Bible. Just go read the book of Esther. The call of all believers to be tranquil and quiet, that falls in line with the rest of Scripture. So do I think with that this one passage that the Scriptures is absolutely forbidding women not to teach or have authority over men? I have to take that statement in account of all the scripture and compare that where women have preached and proclaimed and prophesied and led and spoke and taught, command and plant churches. What I am convinced is that women of faith are commissioned by Christ just as men are to preach the gospel to all of creations to the ends of the earth. Also, I cannot help but wonder, and I alluded to this earlier, so that we might not know on the side of heaven. This is maybe speculation, but just bear with me. We do know that in Paul's letters to churches that more than likely he was responding to issues within that church. We don't know what the exact issue is, but he also responds nonetheless. We know this in the letters to Corinthians. We know that there are at least three, if not four, letters going back and forth. I wonder what was happening in Timothy's church, the church in Ephesus, to respond with this sort of strict command. Were the women specifically becoming unruly? I don't know, and I can't even speculate. But that is where I land. Men and women of the body don't become disruptive or unruly. Instead, worship God with all of your might, okay? That may sound vague, but that's actually the gospel calling on every person who hears it. Worship the Lord your God, love the Lord your God, and love your neighbor as yourself. Let's continue. For Adam was formed first, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman was deceived and transgressed. But she will be saved through childbearing, even they continue in the faith, love, and holiness with good sense. Okay, so I want you to read this, but keep in mind Romans 5, 12, and 21. You have the Adam in Christ, the first Adam and second Adam, the comparison where Paul makes the comparison between Adam and Christ. In other words, no one in their right mind would ever suggest that Paul is saying that Adam did not sin. Woman was deceived and transgressed, okay? She was the first to do so. Adam was passively not protecting his wife and transgressed. And I know this because of Genesis 3 and of Romans 5, 12 through 21. As far as being saved through childbearing, this may be reading into it, but I'm going to say it like this. That's not exclusive for women. That's exclusively for all believers. Because when I read that, that ties right back in into the first proclamation of the gospel, Genesis 3:15. I will put hostility between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. he will strike your head and you will strike his heel. And in Galatians 3:16, now the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. He does not say and to seeds, although referring to many, but referring to one and to your seed, who is Christ. What is the Bible about? Jesus Christ. When in doubt, ask yourself, what does this say about God? What does this say about Jesus Christ? The mentioning of childbearing is a direct correlation to Genesis 3:15. It's the seed of Abraham. It is the Son of God. Okay. If they continue in faith and holiness with good sense. Now, let me submit to you, again, this is a passage to call us to worship God and to do so in a, I would say, almost in an orderly fashion. There's other passages in Corinthians that Paul says the same thing to that church. We don't have to be unruly. Now, I grew up charismatic, and so I kind of can hear the balking and the pushback, but, you know, like, oh, you want us to be boring. It's like, is that what Paul is saying? No, he's not saying that. There is an order to worship. That's why we have liturgy. And you're like, well, what is liturgy? Or I specifically don't go to churches that have liturgy. But guess what? If you go to a church, I'm going to guess what happens. There's a open in prayer. There's four songs set. That goes from real hype to really kind of lay down low. There's a preaching, and there's a closing, and there's a, and guess what? That's an order of worship right there. That is liturgy, whether you're trying to avoid it or not. And if you have a church that like just mixes it up every weekend, well, that is a little bit, I wouldn't attend that church, but that's just me, because that's disorderly. That is like chaos, but it might work for your context. It might work for where you're at, okay? Now, so all that said is, I would say faith, what we can agree upon is faith, love, and holiness with good sense. That's the mark of every believer. Now, there is one thing to struggle with faith and love and holiness and good sense, but there is a whole other thing not to display those traits at all. This is why I keep coming back to you and pleading with you to let yourself be known by loved ones and friends. Married couples, don't tune me out. That you don't get this automatically, because I meet married people all the time who have been married for years, and yet they really don't know each other. God has calls us to community. God has called us to search out others that are safe and invite them into your life. And I submit to you that this is to be done in mutuality. That is, you look into my life and I will look into your life, and let us see if there is something in us that doesn't look like God. Because I promise you, you will not get this in isolation. So we are to worship God, but we're also to not do so in isolation. If you ask me, if you reach out to me in the DMs and you're like, asking about certain questions, or can I do this, or shouldn't I do this, or whatever. I was like, let me ask you this. Are you in a local church? Are you in a local church? And I have to say local church, because a lot of us think that we can do like a home church. There are legitimate home churches, but we can do like not go to church, but we think our family is church, right? Or our podcast is church. And I have said this many, many times, and I will repeat it just to make sure you know that this podcast, video, live stream, whatever, this is not church. This is not church. You need to go find a local church. If you don't know where to start, how to look for one, you can message me, and I will be more than glad to help you. The way my church goes, if we're not the church for you, come let us know so we can help you be in church and stay in church. He's called us to worship corporately. That means we're worship together, okay? You're not going to get this in isolation. It is scary as heck. I get that. People have been hurt by the church multiple times. But as much as God has saved us to himself, he has saved us to each other from believer to believer, okay? My prayer is real simple today. Our God, keep our eyes focused on you. Amen. All right. Well, I hope and pray that what was said today, what we studied today, did not fall on deaf ears. I hope and pray that this is a transformation of your heart and a renewing of your mind. I love you so much. And if you have any questions, need any prayers, just let me know. I'm available everywhere. Just go to theologic.us. I'm on Discord, for Pete's sake. So I have a server set up there. Feel free to chat. Until then, later.